The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
It's time to turn the pages. It's time to type it right. It's time to get things started on the most booktational, inspirational Once Upon an Author show. Here's your host, Danielle M. Orsino. Yay!
Friendship isn't about who you've known the longest. It's about who walked into your life and said, "I'm here for you," and proved it. Buffy Summers. And for those of you who don't know who Buffy Summers is, she's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, played by Sarah Michelle Gellar, and the show was amazing, and it's now a comic book format, but that's totally for another day. Welcome to another chapter of Once Upon an Author. Today, we're going to dive into something I kind of touched on a little while back, but we're going to get a little deeper into it. Friendship. Or in my case, and maybe for some of you out there, the lack thereof. For me, it was the lack thereof female friendships and that bond. Now, when I say female friendship, I mean that Sex in the City, Golden Girls, girlfriends, living single kind of vibe that you see on TV. You know, where everybody's friends, there's never an odd man out, just that ideal group of gal pals. You go out for martinis, mani-pedis, everybody gets along, or if they do fight, you know, it's wrapped up in 30 minutes kind of thing, and nobody's mad that much longer at each other. But the bottom line is they're always there for each other no matter what. They get along. And there's just this camaraderie. All the stuff that TV and Hollywood shows you. Personally, for me, it wasn't that way and I never really got it. I mean, I'm talking from like a young age, but specifically that middle school time when it's supposed to happen and you're supposed to start socializing. So, once upon a time in 1986, yeah, I'm giving my age away, I know, but whatever. I had my first real experience with both. Specifically, really with bullying. And it came from girls. I still remember their full names. I can still tell you how it made me feel. It was my first real experience with anxiety. I mean, that like pit in your stomach, twisted knot anxiety. You just don't want to get out of bed kind of thing. And as a kid, you know, that's kind of major. And I remember how everything turned. You know, in sixth grade, it's middle school. I kind of thought I was coming into my own. You know, I had a little boyfriend. Yeah, I remember his name too. I was a cheerleader, Kent Knights. Go Kent Knights. I had a like cute little Letterman jacket. All that stuff, you know, on Sunday, the games played. I got to go out there freezing my butt off, my cute little uniform, white sweatshirt with a little red K, and I had my name going down one sleeve, you know, thought I was all that in a bag of chips. I actually took a good school picture. And anybody knows about school pictures, you know, one good school picture, it's like amazing. I didn't take another good one until my senior portrait, and even that's kind of debatable. But I thought I was kind of figuring things out. I was even on student body government, like I was class representative. So I thought, okay, maybe I'm not as much of a freak as I thought I was. Yeah, no, I was wrong. Everything turned on a dime. It was actually a tough lesson. I learned, don't ever put anything in writing you don't want anybody to see. Because I remember a note being passed and it was about me and it broke my heart. Thank you, Gina and Sandy. Once again, I remember everybody's names. I learned about jealousy, all those little things, but my brain wasn't quite comprehending what was happening. I had a friend who needed help in social studies. So I helped her do a project on Egypt. And we did like these little Egyptian models and dioramas and things like that. And I thought she was my friend. I really did, Gina. I don't think I'm allowed to say her last name. We'll just say it started with a V, Gina V. How's that? But after we got this great grade on the project and we did a little presentation for the class, the whole thing, it turned. She was the ringleader all of a sudden of the group. I walked into class one day, the snickering started. But even before that, I was never in with the girls. Even when I was a cheerleader, there was the group of cheerleaders, and then there was always me. And I was always standing with one of my friends, Krista. She was my next door neighbor. And she was on the team. Her brother played football with us. But I wasn't in with the group of cheerleaders, if you catch my drift. I was always kind of on the outskirts. And we would always do this little cheer where we'd stand in a circle and we'd do this whole little Kent Knight cheer thing. And you'd have to like make up numbers and make up a rhyme to go with it. And they'd all do the same, you know, first down, now we want a touchdown kind of thing. Or they said fourth down, now we want a touchdown. I was always like, we're not going for it on a fourth down, but we're going to kick it. So how are we getting a touchdown? But that's a whole other thing. I actually understood football, so they didn't like me for that. But I'd make up my own little things, and they were always like, that doesn't make sense. And I'd get made fun of for it. I was just always this outcast. But I really thought, it'll change now. Like, I'm a little more confident. This will all get different. Like I said, I took that really cool school picture. So, you know, I had a little boyfriend. His name was Donald. So we never kissed. My dad told me if I kissed a boy when I was going through puberty, quote unquote, our tongues would turn a different color because our hormones. And he could tell because it would look like I ate like a lollipop. And so every time when I came home from school, because we rode the bus together, he would check my tongue. I believed it 100%, totally believed it, never kissed a boy in sixth grade. I didn't kiss a boy till high school, to be honest with you, because my dad scared me that much. But totally different story. Anyway, I just thought things were going to change. But like I said, the note passing started, the snickering started, and the ostracizing started. And I can't tell you really what did it. But I never stood up for myself because I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. I remember one day trying to walk to class and two girls I tried to walk with, and they all of a sudden looked at each other and went, let's run. And they just ran down the hall to run away from me. And I sat there, or I stood there with my binder, my little Trapper Keeper binder with the little kitty cat on it, and thought, I don't get it. Like, they're actually running away from me. I don't know what I did. It got so bad, I wanted to transfer schools. That's how bad it got. Nobody sat with me at lunch. And when you asked people, nobody could tell you really what the issue was. You know, it was that kind of thing. But it would be things like if I answered a question out loud in class, people would laugh. God forbid I got it wrong. Well, then it was just, you know, a snicker fest. And then there was pointing, you're dumb, you're this, you're that. On top of all this, I was dyslexic, so you can really imagine how this went. It got so bad that during lunch, I went to go work in the library and put books away just to get away from kids. And this continued. Eventually, you know, sixth grade was over, but we all know middle school. I will take high school over middle school any day of the week. If somebody was like, look, I'm going to give you $1 million to go back to high school, I'd be like, okay. They could be like, when I'm going to give you $10 million to go back to middle school, I'd be like, keep your money. No way am I going back there. Never. Kids are mean. Uh-uh. Not doing it. Also, I was 4'9". I didn't grow up much taller than that right now. I'll tell you, I'm 5'2". On a good day when I stand up straight, but I didn't grow up much taller than 4'9". So I was a midget, little kid on top of all of this. There may have been some weight issues here and there throughout middle school. You know, I was still trying to figure things out. So it was difficult. You're getting bullied on top of it all, trying to figure it out. I just never got over it, really. I never figured out how to bond with people. things at home were starting to deteriorate quickly. So I wasn't finding solace at home. I was going right back into my head and once again, rewriting the day. I didn't want to admit what was happening. But as you retreat into your head and into yourself, that's not making you any more socially awkward than you already are. Okay, it's not helping your cause. Now I'm even weirder than I was. And I'm still playing Wonder Woman in my head and doing all that kind of stuff just to get through things. It was just getting bad. Now, I realized that with all of this and feeling anxiety for the first time, and as it sent me further into my own head and the walls that I was building were growing taller than I was. But what I didn't realize that all of these painful experiences were actually laying the foundation for what I would go on to write about later, which were these female bonds that while I didn't have and I would desire, I would wind up writing about. So it was helpful in its own way. Of course, at that time, you know, I had no clue what was happening. But it was interesting how, as I talked about earlier, these experiences through the formative years really do stick with you. As much as, you know, we want to tell kids, you'll grow out of it. Don't worry about it. When you look back, this will be a distant memory. Yes, it is. But it does stick with you. And it does kind of help mold a lot of things that we don't want to think about. Because when it's painful and you want to tell a kid, look, don't worry about it. It'll all be over. You'll be so much better. That's what we want to tell them because we want to get them through it. But it really does stick with you more than you would think. Now, I did have one friend who came in about, Jen came in about mid sixth grade. She wasn't in my class, but I knew because she was this kid from Long Island that transferred and she had Z Cavaricci's, which at that time was like the biggest thing to wear. And she had a different pair every day. So everybody was like, oh my gosh, she must be rich. Because in Carmel High School or in Carmel Middle School, it was George Fisher Middle School I went to, we were up in the sticks. So to see somebody sporting Z Cavaricci's and suede shoes in every color you can imagine, it was like, oh my gosh. Jen was the height of fashion. The height of fashion for sixth grade. And we became friends. And to this day, she is still my best friend. I love her to death. And she became the muse for Lady Serena in Birth of the Fae, who is Queen Aurora's best friend. Everything about Serena is based on Jen. Her ride or die attitude, her goofiness, but her tell it like it is, even when you don't want to hear it, this is all based on Jen. She has been there for me through thick and thin, through high school, all of it. But once again, I had Jen. I had other friends, groups that I kind of flowed in and out of through high school. But it was always, I was close to one person in the group, not the entire group. I don't know if anybody else can really relate to that, but I was never somebody, and I'm sure you've seen this, that they're friends with everybody in the group and everybody wants to be friends with them. Everybody wants to be as close as possible to that person. That was not me. I tended to sit back and kind of watch and observe because I didn't really understand how to socialize. And I know that sounds weird, but when you've spent so much time in your head building stories to pass the time or to just escape what was going on at home, I didn't understand things. And that's the best way I could put it. I just didn't get it. But I could build these stories of friendship and what I'd want and how I'd want things to be, and even the friend I would want to be to people. I kept doing that. Getting through high school, my high school, for some reason, we were not a performing arts school. Let me start off with that. Carmel High School was not a performing arts school. We were a small school. All of us pretty much went to school from kindergarten all the way through. We all knew each other. We were big on singing. Like I said, I couldn't tell you why, but everybody who was popular sang or played an instrument. I did none of these things. I was too scared to sing. I discovered I had a voice literally in my 30s. I took singing lessons and figured I could actually carry a tune. Go figure. I would never perform. Even my singing instructor, I had to turn my back to her to sing. I was that scared. But I could dance. Didn't get me very far in school. not very far at all, because I didn't do the classical stuff. I could just dance. I had a friend, Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. And we would dance at the school dances and we could get a little attention for it. But we weren't one of the popular girls who could sing. And that was the big thing at Carmel, was to be able to sing and perform in the school plays. I did perform in the school play on a budget cut when we had to write a school play once. 11th grade, I did it. The play was named Success. I still remember it, you see. But once again, none of these helped me. I didn't belong to the groups and I couldn't do it. I would watch everybody and think, that's really cool. I'd love to do this. I'd love to be in that group and have these friends and be able to pal around, because I'd see the girls walking down the hallway. And I, like I said, I still remember their names. And they'd walk in a group and they'd all be talking and they'd go to parties together and they all seemed to get along. Now, whether they were stabbing each other in the backs or whatever, I don't know. But it looked like just like what you thought high school would be like. You know, you watch 90210. They were like that. And I thought, I really want that. But I couldn't figure out, because I was so self-conscious, awkward. I didn't know. And everybody in Carmel knew what was going on with my parents' divorce, that half the people were like, stay away from her. She's drama. You know what's going on at that house. So I had that kind of working against me too. So I couldn't get out of my shell. I couldn't get out of my own way. I kept retreating more. I used, believe it or not, fashion to kind of express myself a little bit. But once again, this does not make you a popular kid. You know, I discovered Vogue magazine and walking around in like indigo blue and hot pink because Linda Evangelista wore it in the Chanel ad. I ain't wearing Chanel. I'm going to Contempo Casuals and trying to remake that look. And anybody who remembers Contempo Casuals gets what I'm talking about. And if you don't, it was just the coolest thing to wear at the time. But I'm still remaking like these outfits that are in vogue and wearing them once again. Carmel High School, the sticks. It wasn't that open-minded for this stuff. And in the 90s, spandex was a big thing. I'm trying this in junior year of high school. They're not really rewarding my self-expression at this point in time. So I'm kind of not doing myself any favors. The girls aren't flocking to me being like, wow, you dress so cool. Not like now where dressing like that and trying to experiment is cool. It wasn't when I was doing it. Not at all. I get out of school. I jump into competing in martial arts. Now, when you compete in martial arts, some people go with a whole school. You know, they have their team. Once again, I didn't have a team. It was just me by myself walking in. It's not one of those things where you go and everybody knows each other. I would travel Saturday and Sunday during the season and do two tournaments, sometimes a weekend. You can't go to the girl who you just punched her in the face and be like, hey, do you want to grab a drink afterwards? Do you want to hang? We're enemies for the entire season because you're going to see her again and you're going to compete against her again. And if not her, her friend or somebody from her school. And when you get up to compete, her whole school is cheering for her to kick your butt. It doesn't exactly make for friendships. It's very difficult. They can all go out because in sparring, they've kicked each other's butts 10 times. They're used to it. You are a stranger. You are the enemy. They don't want to get to know you. There's none of that. It does not make for camaraderie. So I would go in, do my thing, and get out. Once again, who am I going to hang with? What am I going to do? So it was lonely. I loved competing. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely adored competing. I loved it. But after you kick somebody's butt, they're not exactly looking to make friends with you. We're competing and we're also looking to get ranked on the circuit. So if you place first, you get a certain number of points. Second, certain number. Third, certain number. After that, nothing. So girls are my enemy. And I have to look at that because I can't punch you in the face if I like you. Not going to work. You can't be too nice of a fighter. Same thing with forms. If I got to beat you, I can't be sitting there thinking, oh, she's so sweet. I got to get in there, do my thing. I can usually leave it in the ring. Some people couldn't. So it changed things. Now, this isn't meant to be a Debbie Downer or a poor me story. It's meant to give you context. I want to talk about more about how these experiences affected my writing. My female characters are all friends. If you look at the Birth of the Face series from Locked Out of Heaven to Forgive Us and the novellas in between, they are all friends. It doesn't mean they all like each other, so let's not get that twisted. But they don't fight over a guy. They're not doing petty things because they're females. Yes, they might be looking for power and things like that, but it has nothing to do with gender. They have each other's backs in very different ways. For instance, Desdemona and Aurora, they're from very, very different backgrounds. One's a virtue angel. One was a power brigade angel who exalted to that status, but they support each other. They have each other's backs regardless. They can fight and they have fought. They know when to apologize and admit when they're wrong. And they will die for each other. They love each other. Same thing with Serena and Aurora. They will tell each other when they're wrong. Serena has no problem telling Aurora when her plan is a little crazy. And when she needs to support her friend. And when she thinks her friend's advisors are idiots, she comes right out and tells her. Priya and Yagora are your typical mean girls. But they're thick as thieves with each other. They may be what they are to other people, but nobody gets in between those two. They will carry each other through fire. Now, Asa is a little bit different. She's a character that probably represents me more than anything. She's scarred on the outside. She's scarred emotionally. She doesn't think she's worthy because she's not pretty. Her good friend is a guy, Zion, who's like her brother. She would love to be part of the group. But because she's emotionally intelligent, she's awkward. And everybody winds up leaning on her but doesn't give it back. She wants to be part of things. But as a fierce warrior and as everything that she is, she has a hard, hard time and she struggles. She longs for that deep female companionship, but she can't break through because of her own issues that are holding her back. These relationships that I've written have allowed me to explore what I desire. A lot of times people say to writers, write what you know, stick to what you know. It's really not about that. Sometimes it's deeper to write what you desire and what you want to have. The nuances are usually in that moment. Because there is when you figure out more about yourself. What have your experiences led you to desiring? And why didn't you have those things? Like I said, for me, introvert. Too much. I like to observe. I was too self-conscious to do anything, and I just didn't understand it. And it's something I still struggle with today. As a writing tip, for those of you who are listening to this for that, I would encourage you to think about the relationships you currently have and what you've had in the past. How would they influence your writing? What dynamics do you see? What real experiences reflect in how you write? What do you desire? What relationships do you desire? Writing fiction is all about interpersonal dynamics. That's really what it is. Often the characters reveal more about what we need or what we wish for than we realize. So take a step back and look at your characters and think about them. Think about what piece of you is in there and what piece of your relationships are in those characters. And then build out from there. Whether you put horns, fins, tails, whatever it is on your characters, there still aren't interpersonal dynamics. People fall in love, people get angry, they start wars, they kill, they do whatever. It's whether you set it in a fantasy world, a Western, a sci-fi, a murder mystery, it's still about people. So go into what you have and what you don't and figure out your writing style from there. If you don't know male or female bonds, well, what would they look like if they were perfect to you? And then go. You'll figure it out and you'll see what you wish you had or what you don't have reflected back in those characters. A piece of you is in all of them. Before we close out today's chapter on this show, I want to ask you, all of you, if you could create the perfect group of friends at any point in your life, now, when you were a kid, middle school, high school, whatever it is, what would they be like? What qualities would you want them to have? And how would they support you? But are you supportive right now of your friends? Now, maybe you have a good group. I know there's a lot of people out there that do. If you're lucky enough to have that group of friends, make sure you thank them. Make sure you tell them that you're grateful for them, because to have that group is so important. And once again, don't think you have to hold on to a relationship because of the length of time. This is about quality and not the quantity of time they've been there. If it's not doing anything for you, move on. Don't sit in red flags just because you spent time there. That's an important factor in all of this. But really reflect and make sure that everybody in your life is doing what they need to do to bring you joy and vice versa, because you have to give it back. It's reciprocal. For anybody who wants to reach out to me, you can always reach out to me on Instagram at dmorsino, O-R-S-I-N-O. That's on Instagram. I've changed my handle. You can always go to birthofthefae.com. You can check out the books at Amazon. The latest book is Thine Eyes of Mercy, which is out on Kindle. Locked Out of Heaven is the first book, out on Kindle, paperback. And all of the Birth of the Fae series is out on audiobook produced by Skyboat Media. Until then, I will see everyone next week, where we're going to jump into something else, probably more about exactly how I became an author. Enjoy and have a wonderful week, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in.